Good student.
There, we should be good now.
That's right. Okay, my father said to me, for the last semester, you're going to be assigned to Father McCarthy, and you're going to live in the university.
Oh my goodness.
And I did that 2 years.
Okay. And was this so Father McCarthy could help you become
no,
a better student?
He would direct me. And direct is being polite. It was either direct or punish. Which one do you want?
He kept you in line, eh?
Yes. In fact, it was only his direction that seemed very stern, but it was his direction that probably I got through two grades of high school with suitable marks, satisfactory to my father. And it was all because I was in the university after living in Halifax and then living at home was not satisfactory to my father. And you're being sentenced for the last three months of the school year.
Were you allowed to go home on the weekends, or when you were a boarder, did you stay there?
Only when you made an application to the Dean of Discipline, who said, how are you doing in your studies? And he didn't keep track of all the studies, naturally, all the students, rather, but he could very easily push a button and find out from any one of the priests that was teaching, how is the McCarthy boy doing? And if the McCarthy boy was not doing as well as both his father and the priest, the disciplinic, you didn't get home.
You had to stay.
Now, it was quite often possible that on Sunday or Saturday, I give two examples only, and that is on Sunday, you went to Mass, and in my case, instead of going home, instead of going to the we used to call it something that was not very complimentary, the hash house.
Why would you call it that?
Because nobody liked the meals. Anyway, I used to sneak home, and my mother was always kind to me, and she'd give me either something to eat or make a big lunch for me to take back, and I would share with my roommates and that sort of thing.
Was the hash house a part of the college building, or was it another one? Oh, okay.
That was, and, you know, just a rather hard one, and yet funny. We had a room where we all sat together, and the food was mediocre, to say the most complimentary. But there were people there that came to the university or high school to be cooks and people that kept the building in good shape, but were not necessarily the best cooks or chefs or anything like that, because one part of the day they might be sweeping the floors or something similar. And the last half of their shift, they might be making up tomorrow's breakfast or foodstuffs. The one that most likely stays with me in memory is the ladies who cooked also painted the walls when they needed to be done. And on two occasions that I recall, we always seemed to end up with mashed potatoes. and the mashed potatoes had trickles of green paint.
Oh my goodness.
And you either ate it all, including the green paint, which was very difficult to get out of mashed potatoes, or you didn't eat it at all.
What would you choose?
And I tried many times to try and separate the paint, but it was hopeless. So if you were hungry enough, you ate it. And it didn't taste any different than regular mashed potatoes. There was no taste of the paste to the terms of the meals. But I lived through it.
Now, when you spent the weekends at the college, what would you boys do? Yeah, night or in the day.
What I would do is I would get a nudge from my friend Father Kehoe, or one or two others that are in the book there, that you partly marched almost to the chapel, and after mass at the chapel, you might find one of the priests standing at the doorway saying, and beckoning you over to see him. He said, you recognize that you have a free day today? Well, I have some things for you today that would help your studies if you go to the library this afternoon and spend the afternoon studying in French or studying mathematics or whatever it was. If you happen to be well-behaved and an individual who would just get over the barrier in terms of marks, he would say, if you bring up your marks, you don't have to study today. Today is a day off. You can go to the ball game, or you can do anything you'd like. Within reason, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this college has a reputation, and it is guys like you that are expected to hold the reputation up, whether you're on the campus or whether you're anywhere else. In other words, don't come back with a black eye, or don't come back with your clothes torn.
But you used to sneak out.
Oh, yes, yes. That's because I had a girlfriend.
And were girls not allowed to come visit on campus?
No. No, they came to very infrequently came to the bottom floor where the administrative offices were, where the such things as plays or they were great people for putting on plays, but also they had a hall that was used for visiting people. When, like, for example, when there was graduation, they had a room which housed, I would suggest, by memory, 60, 70 people.
Oh, wow.
It was a fairly sizable number of students in the building, counting people that lived at home and the people that were boarding in.
How many boarders were there?
I would say that there would be probably about 100. I would say maybe a little low, but I wouldn't go too far above that.
Okay.
And that was in both junior grades 9 and 10, and people that were studying and the teens of late teens, 18, 20, that were in the first or second year of university. When they got beyond that, they sort of do what happens today. They board out into a family or a relative or somebody like that.
Okay. Now, what recreational facilities were there on campus? There was the rink.
Very sparse. We had a rink that was a poor imitation for a rink these days. It was natural ice, not artificial ice. It was bigger on one side than it was on the other. But when you turned around and changed ends in a hockey game, the turnout was equally as one person getting a bad dig, and the other competition gets his taste at his turn. Now, in addition to that, there were uniforms for football players. There were baseball equipment. There was no such thing as a pool for swimming.
Oh no!
You're lucky that you had a shower.
Certainly.
But the very basics, and not necessarily were they very classy. They were perhaps hand-me-downs from maybe other colleges that could do without them. And when they replenished them, they would send them to. It was not a very lush university that we were living in. It was pretty rough.
And you played hockey and football?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who?
Ping pong?
And ping pong.
When I wasn't allowed out, I barely played ping pong.
What other things did you boys do inside school, like ping pong? Did you have pool tables?
Yes, I don't remember pool tables. I think pool had kind of not to be seen here in the college or the university. The priests didn't like that sort of, I don't know why, there's nothing sinful about it, but it was never, probably because such things as guys get a little reckless, and they're always either looking for new bats or they're looking for ping pong balls and that sort of thing, and nobody could find them. Somebody either walked away with them or they destroyed them.
Oh my goodness. Were you a part of any other societies on campus? Like a debating society or anything like that?
Not so much debating, but I'm just trying to remember what was the sort of activities that were sort of over and above your daily studies. We had, if you were fortunate enough to have the material, we had a room that would allow you to bring in, and this was sort of unique trick sort of thing that you could buy in a five and dime store, or Woolworths as I guess it was known as then. Model airplanes were big, and it helped people be able to use their hands in a way that they would be able to acquire an artist to a degree. That these are very articulate people sometimes, but if they are able to use their hands, they don't have to be articulate, because their hands are doing their work for them. And they were encouraged to make things like that, or carve wood with the jackknife.
Oh, sounds neat. Now, I've read some things about annual retreats. Did you go on those?
I was never, no? I was never really very holy. My mother did all the praying, I think, in our house. But retreats were probably, and I say this with some degree of hesitation, and that is that the girls went on what did you call them?
Annual retreats.
Annual retreats, yes. They used to go to Mount St. Vincent, mostly. And, of course, reminding you that St. Mary's College was all male. Mm-hmm. And they ensured that you said your prayers, unless you wanted to get a bat across the ear. Because you had to say your prayers before you went to bed at night. And beds, of course, were double bed, like a military base.
Like
one guy
bunk
slept
bed?
On the bottom, and the other guy slept on the top. And whatever you owned was either down at the foot of the bed or under the bed.
And this is at St. Mary's?
At St. Oh, Mary's. Okay. And you had a locker. A locker being like a university man playing hockey or football, and he puts his uniform in there and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But they were very easily broken into. That's why people put them under their bed or put them at the foot of their bed so they wouldn't lose them. People would borrow them, but they would forget to bring them back. So there really wasn't much of that, although I must take I must give credit to those that did for example, just to give you a very basic one, this is an example would be a lot of the boys were more pious than others, and they were the elder boys for mass at the chapel, and a couple of those guys became very pious priests and did very well in that line. Mm-hmm. And came back very often to see what went on in that era, because they were sort of middle-aged men then, and they would come back and overlook the places and the facilities. Mm-hmm. And of course to make fun of what they did back in the dim dark days that they lived there. But it was a very rugged school. Not rugged from the point of view that it didn't have adequate facilities, but they were certainly far from new. They were well worn. Mm-hmm. And the people that were students there and the priesthood that managed the area were very professional and kind people, except when you deserved punishment, you certainly can expect punishment. And that's why many of us were sent to the university, because they knew that you got very stern priests that were not behind the door, let me put that phrase in front of you, that you're not behind the door getting a bat across the ear by a priest, but they don't do that anymore. you know, that would be very difficult. In fact, it may be some sort of a crime. I don't know that. But people these days in universities, colleges, high schools, etc., certainly don't use their hands as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, anyway.
Now, how did St. Mary's being a small campus affect the atmosphere of the school? Were you really close?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, when the college was sort of what I guess I would call the heyday, as this would be sort of just after the 1939-45, no, what was the dates? 1939-45, yes. The war was over, and people were free living, and the ball game changed, and there was a lot of people coming back to the university to finish their education.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, St. Mary's would play any kind of sport with Dalhousie, and they hated each other.
Crosstown rivalry.
That's right, and it became such that there was never anything other than spirit, I guess, but there was no hesitation at all in pretty rough fights at hockey games and football games. When the water got boiling, the temper started to boil over. And I guess to some degree that helps get the temper out of them. To some degree, there's still the odd scrap that goes on, but they're not good. They're not good scraps like they used to be then, when the guy left with his nose bleeding and all the rest of it.
Oh, wow. Did the brothers promote the students being involved in the collegian and debating and sports?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that it was never. Well, maybe it was me. I was never enthusiastic about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my sort of druthers, as a fellow would say, maybe in Newfoundland, but anyway, I preferred to be involved in the sports activity as opposed to such things as what do you call it when two people make their point in terms of
debating, yeah,
yes, but I can't think of a kinder word that these were the sissy guys. And the sissy guys kind of steered away. And then the only one reason is because the other guy who was good at a debate could eat them alive.
Oh, goodness.
And therefore, the ones that were not so good at it, but might be good football players,
mm-hmm.
that's where their strength lie. And therefore, they sort of didn't anything but to deviate from the so-called sissified but clever guys. Those are the guys that ended up to be, in many cases, lawyers who have a gift and other methods of professions. Mm-hmm. Doctors, I suppose, and that sort of thing. But when I look back at it, I often say to myself, you know, you should be you should be more of a businessman than you are now. And my response is, there is no business in any degree at all that is this.
Oh. Okay, I thought it stopped for a minute there. It's still going. Sorry.
That's all right. There's nothing any more difficult to manage, to cope with, to guard other people, is flying an airplane.
Exactly.
And there's only one chance in that kind of a situation. You can lose a client's, you can lose the client's law talents, but you don't lose too many pilots on airplanes.
Right.
And I say that because that's my love. And I have never flown them, but I sure flew in an awful lot of them, and I knew an awful lot of guys that I had influence with, and we all became sort of, well, I guess there's no sort of it. There's talent of different loves. You can love very much an airplane, but it doesn't love you back. But it sure looks after an awful lot of people in terms of the modern way of travel.
Mm-hmm, certainly. I just have a few more questions.
Sure.
One of them, what year did you graduate from the high school? Do you remember?
I think. Do you want me to leave these notes with you?
Sure.
I wrote them.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And my writing is not necessarily as good because I learned to write very quickly.
It looks good to me.
But it's what I thought that you might want to reflect on.
Yeah, this will certainly be helpful.
Take a few minutes and scot through it. My own family, my own bread and butter, my wife and my children are all in here.
Oh, this is great. Amy will appreciate this too.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. She loves them. And
she loves history.
Yes.
Yeah, family mm-hmm. history.
And her mother, of course, was our first child. Mm-hmm. And her mother hit her 50th anniversary. Her 50th birthday, rather.
Just last week.
Just last week.
Yeah. I just have one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
What is that?
I'm just getting comfortable with this now. You and I are.
And we're almost done, eh? Yeah.
Well, I don't know when we're done. I'm here for as long as you need me.
What do you think your connection to St. Mary's is now? Do you still feel that you have a connection?
Yeah, yes, I still find myself in a position being quite ready to argue that St. Mary's was a dump. Place on the corner of Quinpool Road and Windsor Street was nothing but a bunch of thugs. You know, you hear that sort of thing.
Oh my goodness.
Because this is a person that is probably the same age as me or a little younger, mm-hmm. saying that those guys did nothing but fight and drink. And, you know, you just don't take that kind of stuff, even though I'm in my particular case where I'm in the mid-70s. And I can still argue, and if you want to, you can still fight. I don't mean physically fight, but you take it very seriously when somebody is ridiculing or criticizing, for example, many of the priests that are in there. Because, as you may or may not know, the Catholic priest in the world today is an individual who's on the hot seat.
Certainly, yes.
And, you know, it's not unusual, for example, to say, I'll bet you back in year whatever, that the priests at that time had a bottle under the bed, or had their floozy on the road where they could go and have a date with them way back when, but we never knew it. Now that's a bunch of bloody lies. And I think, in my own personal point of view, if somebody who was sort of anti-priests or anti-Catholicism and that sort of thing, I would certainly have no hesitation at all in getting into an argument about that.
Defend
because
yourself.
I have an Irish temper. That's the way my father was and my grandfather. And those things stick with you, even though I haven't been in, well, I shouldn't say I haven't been in St. Mary's University. I have been. I took a course in St. Mary's here back in, I don't know, 20 years ago, a night course.
Oh, yeah.
Helped me with my modern-day business.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten what the course was, but I got a certificate and it came in quite handy with me when I was doing business for Air Canada.
Certainly.
And those kind of things stick with me. It's like a disease, you know? It's something that you're stuck with. There's another word, it's love. So, I'm sure the girls that went to St. Mary's out in the Bedford Highway?
Oh, Mount St. Vincent?
What's that?
Mount St. Vincent.
Mount St. Vincent.
Yeah.
I still see girls that I went to dances with and all this sort of thing that are married and have grandchildren of their own and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation will undoubtedly swing over to here. Have you seen Betty or Lucy or Sam or this? And how many children do they have? Do you remember the dances that we had and the fact that we snuck out in the backyard and had a smoke? And nowadays they're snuggling in the backyard or the court or something or other. But that kind of stuff is glue that keeps them together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there's a lot of girls that are sort of somewhat blue that the Mount St. Vincent is on the verge of not necessarily collapse, but certainly they don't have the facilities and the reputation that they had when we were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I had hair then.
I'm done all my questions, but did you have any other experiences from St. Mary's?
No, but I'll tell you that I'm flattered to come and meet you.
Oh, it was great to have you in.
And I guess that I get a little, a sort of, what's the word? Mellow. When Amy is an example, asks me to participate. And special, because she's our first grandchild. And She's a wonder.
She is great. I know she wants to talk to you again another day and talk more just about your personal life, too. She asked for a copy of this tape.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
Are you interested in having a copy?
No.
No?
No. But I probably wouldn't do it again. Her mother would love it.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to talk to her mom then.
Because her mother was our first child. Mm-hmm. And I get quite emotional about this sort of thing. Nuts, because I'm a marshmallow. But this may not be very helpful.
Oh, I think so.
But it will give you what the way I think, the way that we brought up our kids.
It's all you, and it's all a part of St. Mary's, because you went to St. Mary's.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I'll just turn this tape off then.